starting Be'ezras Hashem Daf Mem, we'll begin at the Mishnah, Mem Amud Aleph, and continuing along in the Perek HaMafkid, somebody who deposits something, releases something by his friend, by his Shomer. So the Mishnah says, what happens if it's time to get paid back? HaMafkid Peres El Tzachavera, a person leaves fruits with his friend. His friend is a Shomer, is a Yetzel Echisreiner. So when the friend pays him back, he can take a deduction, he can deduct from the amount, Chisarein, right, shrinkage, normal shrinkage. What the fruits would lose. And Rashi explains that there's going to be two sorts of deductions. It could either be for some sort of spoilage, standard spoilage, or because the achbarim eat specifically the animals, the rodents will eat from it. And as the Gemara will explain, we're talking about a case where the shomer wasn't miyached, he didn't keep a separate area, meaning whatever fruits or grain was deposited with him to watch, he had very much of that same sort of min, and he just put it in the same place. He wrote it down on his, his ledger, his notebook, saying, "Okay, I owe Reuven kach v'kach, or I accepted from Reuven kach v'kach." When it comes to payback, you can take off the standard shrinkage. Now, what is that percentage? So, l'chitim l'ayres depends very much on the type of produce. L'chitim l'ayres tisha chatzei kabin l'kor. So for chitin and ayres, it would be 9 half kabin for a kor. Now, if we just go through some quick mathematics, a kor is 30 sa. There are 6 kabin to a sa. That's 180 kabin to a sa. And that's 360 half kabin to a sa. And if you're taking off 9 out of 360, so that's a 2.5% deduction. L'sa'irin l'deichin, for barley or deichin, millet, tisha, kabin l'kor. So that would be 9 kab l'kor, twice the amount or 5%. L'kuspin for speltul, zera pishdan, and flaxseed. Shalish sa'in l'kor, that would be 3 sa per kor, which is 10%. Okay, so either 2.5, 5, or 10% is what you deduct for standard shrinkage or spoilage. Hakol l'fi amida, v'hakol l'fi hazman. As Gemara will explain, what we mean is this is per kor. In other words, it's a percentage per kor, per year. L'kol fi hazman, per year. Amar Rav Yechanan ben Nuri. Rav Yechanan ben Nuri says that, no, you don't take quite that much. V'chima ichbas lo l'achbarin. What do the achbar who ostensibly is eating from it, so what do they care? V'haloi oichlis bein meharba bein mekema. The rodent is going to eat what it needs to be full, whether the grain pile is a lot or a little. Ela ein yetzel chesreinus el koreach bilvad. Okay, so rather, all you take is one kor. And Tosfos jumps in here to explain, okay, what's the Rabbanan Shita? And even though the Gemara is going to discuss the Rabbanan, we'll see a modification there. What's the Rabbanan Shita? The Rabbanan Shita is an interesting lashon. He brings in the Yerushalmi, the Tamayu, the Rabbanan Mefarash B'Yerushalmi, Hani Achbari Rishi'ininu, that these Achbarim are Risha'im, meaning Karamayin Ibor, when they see grain, not only do they eat what's not theirs, but they call their friends to eat with them. Okay, so again, once the achbar finds it, it calls its friends to eat with it, and therefore you can't limit how much it is. The rabbanon hold that no, that there's it has to go based on percentages. Okay, so but Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that all you deduct is el lekor echad belvad, so for one kor. Okay, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, im haisa mida meruba, ein emaitzele chesronos of nesha meisiris. And another interesting case, right? So the Rabbanan say it's a fixed percentage per year, 2.5, 5, or 10% of, depending on the grain, per kor per year. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer says, no, it's a fixed amount, no matter how much grain there is, you just take off one. Okay, this percentage for one core, period. I don't care if there's 50 core in there, because the achbar is going to be limited to what he's going to eat. Remember, Yehuda says that if you have a lot, which the Gemara is going to explain is 10 korim, then you actually don't take any deductions, because naturally the produce will plump. Depends on the time of the season. Okay, it will actually grow, it will swell, and therefore it counteracts the chisaron. So let's discuss the Gemara first. We're discussing the first part. In other words, we're discussing deduction. So in the Chachamim Shita, you take a fixed amount per kor per year, and it depends on the type of item how much that would be. So Eiriz, the Gemara said the first category was Eiriz. The first category was Lechitin Eiriz, L'chitin ula iris, and we're saying that it's 2.5%. In fact, the Gemara iris, rice tuva chaser, would be a lot more. Amar Rav Bar Chana, it depends. Amar Rav Yechonon bar iris kalof shanu. This is peeled. If it's peeled iris, so then it rots or gets the chasarin is at a lower pace. L'kusmul zera pishtan gimel sain l'kor. Amar Rav Yechonon bar chia zera pishtan begiv oilin shanu. We're talking about in the stalks, okay? Because if it is it's in the stalks, that's when it's going to lose quite this much, okay? Because the gevalim, the stalks themselves, like we saw by the iris, when it's unpeeled, it's going to lose more. So too over here in the stalks, it's going to lose more. Tanya nami hachi, again, it depends on the, now we're saying that doesn't only depend on the type, and grain or produce, but rather it also depends on what state it's in, with its stalks, without its stalks. Tanya nami hachi, l'kusmul, zara pishlam, l'gevalim, l'erez, right, so again, we see the same idea, which was we said iris kalof would only lose the 2.5%, right, the smallest amount. But lo iris she'enai kalof, if it's not peeled, shloisha san lekor, would actually be the highest amount, which is the 10% amount. Hakol lefi hamida tana kein lekol kor v'chor. Like we explained in the Mishnah, what does it mean when we say hakol lefi hamida and lekol lefi hashana? It is L'chol kor v'kor, v'chein l'chol shana v'shana. Right, so this is a 2.5%, for instance, of the lowest one is 2.5% per kor, per year. Amar Rav Yechonon Menuri. Rav Yechonon Menuri held that no, that you're going to be limited. The achbar doesn't care how much grain you have. It's going to eat what it needs to eat, which is the amount of one kor. Tanya Amar Lel Rav Yechonon. The Rabbanon responded to Rabbi Yechonon, harba oivdos mehen, harba mispazos mehen. Meaning, you're not limited to a reason of an achbar eating. There's many reasons why you could have shrinkage. Achbar is one of those reasons, and I understand you're addressing one of them. But there's other ones. Harba oivdos, other ways it could get ruined or lost. Harba mispazos, it can get scattered, it can fall into crooks and crevices. And so there's all different sorts of reasons why you could have shrinkage. Now, Tosfos addresses, hold on one second, why the Rabbanon responding to Rabbi Yechonon Menuri in this manner, if according to the way the Yerushalmi explained it, the Rabbanon hold that no, the Achbarim will call more friends. So Tosfos says that the Gemara was answering the Rabbanon's response to Rabbi Yechonon Menuri in their own Shita, meaning we hold that when this, even on the Achbar reason, that's not a valid reason, because Achbarim have friends, as the Lashon of the Yerushalmi was, that Hani Achbari Rishi'i Ninhu, okay, but even in you, according to you, Reichen Menuri, that say that, no, that the Achbarim aren't going to necessarily call friends, there's other reasons why you can have shrinkage or spoilage. Tana, B'medvar, Memurim She'ivrin Imperiesav. Now, like we explained in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah is kind of explaining itself, unfolding in reverse order. Some of these things we had to explain, we had to speak out in just reading the Pasha Pshat of the Mishnah, Medvar Memurim, what are we talking about here that the Shomer gets to reduce or take a reduction for shrinkage or spoilage. So, b'medvar marum she'irvan imit peirosav. Okay, that's if he mixed them together with his own peiros, aval yichal lekeren zavis. But if it had its own corner, right, if he had its own cubby or locker or whatever it was that the shomer put it in, then there's no fixed percentages. Whatever the amount that his grain got reduced, that's what he would get. V'chi'irvan im peirosav mayhava lechazil didei kamahavian. So why doesn't he see, what? In other words, why don't we just say, why does he get to take these fixed percentages? Why don't we say he should count what he had, deduct what he had, and the rest goes to the goes to the mafkid, the person who deposited there. So the Gemara says, but misstopping mayhem, because he was using. He would constantly go into his grain, and the other guy was going out of town or whatever it was, or he ran out of space. So he asked him to hold on to it for him, so he dumped it together with his stuff, but he kept on using his stuff. And like we explained, he wrote it down in his book, so he knew he owed Reuven, a 5 kurim or whatever it was. So he gets to take the same deductions, but he's been using it the entire time, so he didn't keep track of what he had there. But lechazi kama stopik loyada kama stopik. Okay, he doesn't have no idea. He doesn't keep track of, as he's going in to use it, every single day or each time, okay, and therefore, again, like we said, he just records it, and based off of what he recorded that the person deposited, he gets to take standard deductions. Rabbi Yehuda, Aimer, Im Haisa, Rabbi Yehuda said that if you have a lot, so then you don't take shrinkage at all, because the produce swells up. V'kama mida meruba. What's a lot? Amrav barchan, amrav yechanan. That's asara kurin. If you have 10 kur, so then it will, when you have that much volume and then you introduce some moisture, the way Rashi in the Mishnah explains it, that it depends on the seasons, meaning that at the threshing season, which is when normally you would have the produce to deposit, so it was drier. And therefore, as it got further away from the threshing season, it became more and more moist. The humidity or the moisture in the air would be absorbed into these Paris and would counteract the chasar. Okay, we see that midim ruba is asar korin. Tesis goes through. Well, if you have less than 10, then shills should be proportional. So why are we triggering this when it comes to asar korin? But al kapana tani tana kama derev Nachman. Okay, Tana said in front of Rav Nachman, Medvar Mamurim, that you're going to deduct at all. That is Shemadol Mitach Garnai. That is, now this is in Shitas Rav Yehuda, that there's a swelling effect, so to speak, that can counteract the Chisaron. Medvar Mamurim Shemadol Mitach Garnai. That's when the Nifgad measured it out on when he was incoming, when he was coming in, Behechzer Lai Mitach Garnai, right? That it was also Tach Garnai. Okay, so incoming came in through the, it was the, within the Gurin, the threshing floor, okay, but let's say on the incoming, he measured in the quantity that was on the threshing floor, and he returned to him out of his house, okay, meaning so it went from his Gurin to his own house, that is of the Shimer. Now, what's the difference? Then in the Gurin, you use one size Kalim, and in the house, you use smaller Kalim. So in this case, you automatically would have natural Chaseiros just from the fact that hard exactly to understand what this means, but they would have a core measuring cup in the Gurin was a little larger than it was in the house, and therefore, there was naturally, just based on the measuring device, you would have chisaron. Really? You think we're dealing with people who aren't so bright, that they're going to measure the same amount and attempt to get at the same measurement using two different, right, large ones or small kalim? So the Gemara says, must be that this Tana Kamedu Rav Nachman is nothing to do with the actual physical kalim and measurements therein, but rather we're talking about the seasons and the way that the atmosphere affects the produce. So now it makes sense. When was Rabbi Huda saying that there's a swelling effect that is in the produce that would counteract the chisaron? Okay, that is when you measured be mois hagarin and you returned mois hagarin. Meaning, that there's this in Rabbi Yehuda. When does Rabbi Yehuda hold of the concept of chisrenis that you're going to take off a percentage for shrinkage? That is only when you're returning in the same season where the atmosphere is the same, okay, and therefore the produce is in the exact same state as it was when you left it. But if you deposited b'mais ha'garin v'yechsol b'mais ha'gishamim, where it's already the rainier season where they've expanded in yetzel ha'chisaron, okay, so that is when Rav Yehuda is talking about that you would not be mitzi the chisaron mipnei sheh moi siris, okay, because, again, it will swell up and that will counteract the chisaron. Amalei Rav Papa l'Abaye imkein lifkakada. Hold on one second. If that's true, you're telling me that all produce will expand, so then wouldn't the container that it's being held in explode? It would burst. Okay, so the Gemara says, Hava Ovda, yeah, Taka happened to Paka Kada. And the container did burst because of the swelling of the produce. Or Iba Yisema, no, Mishum Itzitza. Okay, meaning the only time it is going to expand is if there is room within the keli for expansion. It's not going to burst the keli, okay, and therefore it depends on the situation. So if you want to understand, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a swelling effect, why the kelim don't burst in mass, it's because they're only going to expand, again, when they're dumped into a gurn, in an area where they have room to expand. But in a keli that is a small, tight space, they will not expand. Let's discuss the next Mishnah, okay? Moving on to more liquids, okay? So yotzi l'shtus l'yayin. So again, if we're talking about, we're still on deductions over here. So you would deduct a sixth for wine, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Chaimish, that it would be a fifth, right? So it's slightly more, it's a fifth. Yotzi l'shleish l'ogim shemen l'meya. Now when it comes to shemen, okay, meaning the guy deposited a vat of oil with you, so when you measure it back, then lug, you would deduct 3 lug for every 100, okay? So 3%. Now, That is comprised of two deductions. Logo mechza shmarim, that would be the sediments. Logo mechza bala, right? Because of the fact that it gets absorbed into whatever keli it is a natural absorption. It's been sitting there beyond the shliach for a while. So when you measure it back out, we assume that one and a half of it got absorbed into the keli that it was kept in. However, if what he deposited was already refined shemen, so there is no shmarim, and yetzilah shmarim, then you wouldn't go ahead and reduce that. And also, right, so there's ways to mitigate this shrinkage. Again, if it's refined, that means there was no shmarim on the way in, so then you can't deduct it on the way out. And again, if it was deposited in kankanim yeshanim, old containers, so then, right, and that's what it was sitting in yetzilah bala, right? Then he would get nothing for the absorption because old kalim no longer absorb. We'll see in the Gemara exactly. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, af ha-moicher shemen mezukuk, that also when it comes to buying and selling, so it's not limited to pikadon, but even when you purchase shemen mezukuk clear oil l'chaveira, I call you my sashana, hareza makabal of lugo mechza shmarim lemeya. Okay, you also get the benefit of 1.5 lug for every meya, meaning in regards to the shmarim, the sediment. Okay, we're going to see the second part of that, we'll explain it a little further in the Gemara. So now, the Gemara said, what is the shrinkage for wine? It's a sixth or a fifth, says the Gemara. Like, they're not arguing. The Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda aren't arguing. Ma'kiyasra, ma'kiyasra, depends on where they lived. What does that mean? Ba'asra, the ma'ar chafu b'kira, v'loi ma'yitz tfei. In where the Tanakhama lived, they would line the kalim with wax, and therefore the kalim didn't absorb as much, so the shrinkage would only be 1/6. Ba'asra demar, in Rabbi Yehuda's place, chafu b'kufra, they would use pitch, and umayitz tfei, ibayis ema, mishem gigushta, or it depends on the soil. Again, so it's not what you lined it with, but it depends on what the etzem container was manufactured of, gargishta, right? Again, depending on the soil they would use to make that pottery, either way, they weren't arguing. It was a practical reality where they lived. In some places, it would shrink more based on how they manufactured the barrels than in others. Okay, basra de Rabbi Yehuda, ramu, now this is Rabbi Yehuda the Amira, so ramu arbaim v'tamni kuza bedana, that a barrel would hold 48 small cups. Arbaim v'tamni, 48 kuza, that those are small cups, bedana in a barrel. Uzzle dana b'shitza zuzi. Now we're going to go into business over here, in the wine selling business. So a barrel would sell for 6 zuz. Paris Rabbi Yehuda, shitza bezuzah. Rabbi Yehuda, he sold 6 cups for a zuz. Okay, which meant, dal talten b'shitza. So that means he made his original money back, his 6 zuz at the barrel cost, by selling 36 smaller cups. Because it was 6, he sold 6 for a zuz, so 36 cups sold equals his 6 zuz that he paid for the barrel. Pashulei treisar, so he had 12 cups extra. Dal tamnaya shtusi, so he sold, dal tamna pashulei treisar, dal tamnaya, so he had to reduce 8 cups, which is the belius, okay, meaning that would be what would normally, which is 1/6, right? Daltamnaya shtusi, so that is the 1/6 that would get normally absorbed. Okay, we're talking about wine over here, so it would absorb into the keli, which is like the, even it's Amari Rav Yehuda, he's going to Shita's Tanakama, that it's 1/6, not 1/5. Okay, I guess in his place, we said they're not really arguing, but in his place, must be that the shrinkage was only 1/6. Pashulei arba, so he had 4. So his profit on 48 cups were 4, because he sold 36, 8 were absorbed, 8 of it were absorbed in, that's 44, and he was left with 4. Frekta Gemara, how could he only profit 4? Bamar Shmuel ha-mistaka yistaka yoyser al-shtus. A person is in business, so he shouldn't profit more than a 6th. And the diak is, and Rashi, both Rashi and Tesis explain this, okay, but he should profit a 6th. And over here, he's getting much less than that. He's only getting 4 out of 48. Okay, he's only getting a 12th. So he's supposed to be getting more. So the Gemara says, don't worry, ikka gulfi vishmaraya. Okay, he still gets the benefit of the keg and the shmarim, the sediments of wine as well, which have some sort of value. So the Gemara says, well, if so, then he's making too much. So the Gemara says, ikka tircha, that he gets compensated extra for his tircha. Now the Rush explains, what this means is when Shmuel said his din, that you only profit a 6th, or you make sure to profit a 6th, but you should be limited to a 6th. That's when you're selling wholesale, when there's no tircha there. So you're selling it all at once. But over here, he was selling it piecemeal. So he was entitled a little bit more for the fact that he had to sell it in smaller batches. So he was entitled a little bit more than a shtus. And vidami, vidmei, Barzanaisa. Okay, and he had to pay brokerage fees or salesman's fees. Okay, so he gets to deduct that. So when it worked out, it ended up being a shtus. Okay, so we said that if the shemen is clear oil, so then it's not supposed to have sediments, so then he doesn't get to deduct. What was deposited by the shemer was clear oil, so then on the way out, he doesn't get to deduct the 1.5 lug per hundred, 1.5% for the shmarim. In fact, the Gemara says, well, frekta Gemara baha yefshar deloy bala. Okay, so what about, we're saying that if it's clear, what about the blias? This is the other 1.5 for the blias. I'm Rav Nachman Muzafim fin shana. We're talking about that it was lined. Okay, so it was in some sort of situation, some sort of kli, the equivalent today would be a plastic keli, okay, which doesn't, there is no absorption there. Abaya amar afilu temel shaloyim muzafin, even if we're talking about where it's not lined, keeping the ton, because we're talking about kelim that they were older, they were fully absorbed. Okay, so once the keli, once it's fully saturated, an older keli won't take on additional absorption. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, so Rabbi Yehuda applied it in that this deductions of 1.5 lug for shmarm, 1.5 lug for blias is not limited specifically to the shmarm. It's not limited to mafkid, but as well when you're buying and selling. Okay, so the person who's buying would have to accept a deduction of 1.5 lug per hundred. So the way it works out, this is what must be the underlying. We have a machlekes here, whether they would, because it was Rabbi Yehuda who was saying, af ha-meicher, which sounds like the chum don't hold of it when it comes to mechira. So what's the machlekes? Then it must be you're allowed to mix in shmarim. Now, and what is he buying here? He's buying here clear oil that's without shmarim. So since he was allowed to, he's allowed to short. The meicher, the seller, is allowed to short the buyer for what the shmarim he could have put in. Now, l'divrei chachamim, asur la'arav shmarim, according to the chachamim, you are not allowed to mix in shmarim. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, so let's go through the shitas. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, mutar la'arav shmarim, behind u'taima de makabel. Okay, the reason why the buyer has to accept a deduction of 1.5 log per hundred, to Amar Leh, because the meicher could say to the buyer, Ibai lit ruvi lach, I could have put in the shmarim, miloy arvi lach, hashta nami kabel. Right, so accept it without the shmarim, but I'll just deduct that amount. So the Gemara says, hold on 1 second. Then I could sell the shmarim. Hashta ma evid le luchudei loy mizdavin li. In other words, but now if you don't put the shmarim in, so I'm losing out. At least I would have gotten the shmarim. Right, so again, and Tosfos explains that we're talking about where the buyer bought it piecemeal. So you can't give him the shmarim now. But the bottom line is you're saying, I could have put in shmarim, but since I didn't, so accept it with the amount of the shmarim would have been. But shmarim have value. The sediment has some sort of value. So Gemara says, no, but Baal Bayis askinan denichale betzile. That the Baal Bayis, he's not in the merchant business, so he wouldn't necessarily be in a position to sell the shmarim. And anyways, he'd much prefer to get clear oil without the sediment, and that's why it works. What's good for one is good for the other. It's generally understood that if you buy the clear oil, so that means the meicher, the seller, did you the favor of removing the shmarim, the sediments, but he gets to deduct for the space that the sediments would have been. Why don't we say that it must be a mechila from the fact that you, the meicher, didn't do it? No, this is something we spoke about. So maybe it's a mechila. Who says that he gets to deduct for it? Rabbi Yehuda Tamei less a mechila. Ah, because this is Rabbi Yehuda who doesn't hold a mechila. The Tanan, where do we see this? The Mishnah says, Machala is a tzemed. If he sells him the tzemed, okay, that's the thing that holds the oxen together. Machala is a bakar. It doesn't mean that because I sold you the tzemet, that it, you automatically get the bakar. Machalar is a bakar, lemachalar is a tzemet. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, how do we deal with it? Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, so the Tanakhama held that we go with normal rules. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we don't go with normal rules. We can just look at the value. Rabbi Yehuda Imer, hadam and maidin, let's look at the amount of the sale, and the money will tell us what was transacted here. Ketzad, amr lemachalit tzemadach b'masayim zuz. So if he says, tell me your tzemet, sell it to me, right? Again, this is the thing that holds the oxen in place. He says, sell me that apparatus for 200 zuz. However you do, everybody knows that a tzemed doesn't go, that's not the market price. And therefore, the damim is mechichin. Okay, there's no mechila, right? So therefore, let's just look at what it was. The damim are not a raya because there is a concept of mechila. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda says over here that there is no mechila. The dibrei chachamim asr la'arav shmarim. Okay, that again, according to the Rabbi Yehuda, he could have put the shmarim in, and he didn't put it in, and because Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no mechila, the money will always tell us, so it must be that it's a understanding that the seller is not being meichel by the fact that he didn't put the shmarim in, but rather he's going to reduce for what he could have put the shmarim in. According to the chachamim, you are not allowed to mix in shmarim, okay? And therefore, now Tosis explains that really, why couldn't we just say in the Devar Chachamim that it's because they hold a mechila, and that's why, okay, and that's why you don't get the deduction. Why does it have to change the reasons? Tosis goes through logic, and we'll see. There's going to be a second answer in the Gemara. Tosis has to explain that too. Okay, but let's just keep it simple. Ayin Chum, if you want to see the reasons, the Devar Chachamim Asur La'arv Shmarim, that according to the Chachamim, it's your usher, you're not allowed to put in the sediments. Behind the time of delay Makabel, and the reason why you don't get to deduct is the Amar Le'ibayis Leruve Mihava Shari Lach. So again, the reason why the Lekech, the buyer, can tell the seller, sorry, I'm only paying you for what I actually got, the 98 and a half lug, right? You don't get your 1.5 lug deduction because you wouldn't be allowed to mix in Shmarim. Anyways, Hashtanami Le'mekablina. Okay, so I'm not accepting this deduction for the Shmarim, for the sediments, because you couldn't put the sediments in anyways. Amar Le'rav Papalab. Baya adaraba, no. The logic here is exactly the opposite. Ipcha mistabro. L'divrei chachamim, according to the chachamim, mutter la'arv shmarim. In fact, it's mutter la'arv shmarim, behind the time of delay mekabel, and yet, so you're allowed to put in shmarim, but you can't deduct. Why? Damar le'me delay araftali achuli achlesli. Right, about an argument, Rabbi Yehuda, you hold to the concept of mechila, and it must be you were meichel me on that amount. Okay? And l'divrei Rabbi Yehuda asur la'arv shmarim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to put in shmarim. Behind utaima demekabel, the reason why you get to deduct, even though you're not allowed to put in shmarim, is the amar le, because the seller can go to the buyer and say ibay la ruve lo shari li le ruve lach. Since I have to, I'm not allowed to mix in the shmarim. I have no other way to make a profit. Kabuli lo mekabelas. I can't make money. I can't mark it up any other way since I'm not allowed to do that. And therefore, it's a standard markup. So to make sure that I earn something, right? Because otherwise, zavin v'zavin tagra ikri, right? So you're going to call me a businessman if I buy it and sell it for the exact same price? Okay, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're really not allowed to mix it in. And this is the built-in profit that we give him, okay, on the oil. It's a fixed margin profit item. Okay, so again, we have a machlekes, again, between the Rabbanon or Rabbi Yehuda, whether you're allowed, what the logic is, whether you're allowed to reduce. We have two versions of how to understand that, whether you're allowed to take a deduction when it comes to the lekeach, you can short him and give him only 98 and a half lug, take off 1.5. And what the logic is there, is it about the shmarim or not? Is it the shmarim or profit, right? Depending on how you learn the Gemara. Tana, echra lekeach, echra mafkid, lifkatim. So there's another thing that is specific to oil, is something called pekatim. So Rashi says, it's psoilus hagarinim, that these are the psoilus of the seeds, hatsafin al panei Hashem, that float on the top, right? It's again, some other impurity that comes along with oil. Okay, so my right, I guess whatever type of seed oil this was, there's some psilus of the seeds. So if you want to tell me that just like a person who's buying is expecting to get it without these impurities, these pekatim, which take up space and short him on good stuff, so too the mafkid also doesn't have to accept pekatim. Velemale pekatach my yavid lohu. Okay, meaning you, if it was the mafkid, it should be however it was given to him. If it was given to the shomer with pekatim, so then when he gives it back, he gives it with pekatim. So how can we say that just like a lekeach doesn't have to accept pekatim, right? These are impurities that it's the responsibility of the proprietor, whoever's selling it, to fish them out. So too, how could we say that it should be standard rule that the person who returns it has to fish it out? He's not employed. He's a shomer. He's watching it for him. So however he got it is how he should give it back. So the Gemara says, Elok yechid demafkin mekabel pekatim, just like a mafkid is mekabel pekatim, he can be and return it with the pekatim. Lekeach nami mekabel pekatim. So just like a mafkid, if it was given to him with pekatim, would get it back with pekatim. So too, lekeach would accept it with pekatim. Okay, meaning that it's standard when you come to buy it, the seller can say to him, hey, look, I'm giving it to you with these pekatim. I'm not fishing out these impurities. Mi mekabel lekeach pekatim. What are you talking about? The lekeach gets pekatim. Vatanya Rabbi Yehuda Eimer lo amru shemen achor. Cloudy oil, right, which has these pekatim, is only for meicher when buying and selling. Shari lekeach mekabel olav lug. That's the meicher's responsibility. Why? Because lekeach mekabel olav lug umechza shmar b'loy pekatim. Because when you buy it, meaning when the buyer buys a clear oil, it should be, he already took a 1.5 lug deduction to clear it out of the shmarim, and included in that is the responsibility of the meicher to fish out these pekatim, these impurities. So what are you talking about? How could you say that a buyer must accept these impurities, these pekatim? So the Gemara says, Le'kasha ha'diyoev le'zuzei b'tishrei v'koshako mine b'nisan k'midi d'tishrei. It depends, meaning it's seasonal. By the time Nisan rolls around, so then there's expected to be no pekatim anymore. Right, the impurities would have been taken out. So if you're buying in Nisan and Nisan dollars, so then you're not supposed to get pekatim. But the Gemara says, what are we talking about? Where kihechi de makabel, this statement that we made, tana echad akeh v'echad amafkeh the pekatim, that the lekeh has to accept the pekatim. That is when he gives him the money in Tishrei, and he says, I'm going to take delivery in Nisan, but I want it according to the Tishrei price, which obviously had pekatim, and therefore was cheaper. So what we're saying is, since he bought it at the Tishrei price, he has to accept, in this situation, lekeh has to accept the pekatim, but if he buys it in Nisan at the Nisan price, hal diavle zuzei b'nisan, b'koshako minei b'nisan, ki mita b'nisan, so then by Nisan, by the time Nisan rolls around, that's the Brisa, the second Brisa, which says that he does not, that the it's expected that the Meicher would have fished out the Pekatim. That is talking about where he purchased it in Nisan at the Nisan price. Okay, so today we discussed the Mishnah that dealt with all the various chisroinus of a Pekatim. It did stretch a little bit in the second Mishnah into buying and selling. The way we explained it was, we started off explaining Meitzel Amafke Peres Eitzel Chaverai, and he mixed them together with his, right? He just dumped them in his storage area, the Shimer, so he can take off Chisreinus, normal, okay, depending, it's 2.5%, 5%, or 10%, depending on the item. And not only that, even for something, for instance, like Eiriz, is a different deduction rate if it's Kalif versus, right, peeled or not. And Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri said, Ma Echbas Lachbarim, the Achbarim eat what they eat. The Rabbanon responded, again, the way Tosis explained it was, the Rabbanon really argued with Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri that even when it comes to the Achbarim reason for shrinkage, Achbarim are Rishi'i, and they call their friends to come eat with them. But even according to you, you're not limited to achbarim. It's not the only reason why we allow chasarim and shrinkage, and therefore I can respond that there's other losses that are incurred. It gets scattered into crevices, okay, or there's rot or whatever it is. There's other reasons as well, so you can't limit it to one core amount. Rabbi Yehuda said that if it's a mida meruba, when you have a lot, so then you're not going to take off the chasarinus because it will, Maisiris, it adds, it swells up. And the way we explained the question of Nachman was, you're only going to be Menachin, meaning what we explained was, it depends. If we didn't say, it's not really the difference of the Kalim, but rather that wouldn't make any sense because we're talking about, meaning Medvar Mamurim, that you would take off Chaseris, that you would take off deductions and shrinkage for shrinkage according to Rabbi Yehuda. That would be if you deposited it by the guy at the Gairin season, and you picked it up at the Gairin season, so there's no difference in the atmosphere. But if you accepted it to be Maisag Gairin and got it back, Maisag Gishamim, so at that point, there's moisture, it swells up, okay, and therefore you don't get the deductions. And we said, if it swells up, then why don't we find Kalim bursting? So we said, either we do find instances of Kalim bursting, or maybe they only swell when there's space, but inside of a kli where there's no space, it's not going to swell. Then we discussed what is deduction for wine. We said it's either a sixth or a fifth. And we said they're not really arguing. It's Mar Kiasri. Either it depends on the type of stuff they lined the kalim with or the dirt they would make the kalim out of, depending on its absorption rate. Okay, and that would be the difference. We had the story of Rav Yehuda the Amora that he went into business and he sold, right, we said it was 48 small cups to a barrel, and exactly how he sold and earned his shtus with his deductions, okay, and it right in time for tax season, so we're going through that. Shemen Gimel Lug Lamea, we said that when it comes to oil, so again, there's a deduction of three lug per 3%. 1.5 is for the sediments, and 1.5 is for the bleus, how much gets absorbed. And again, those would get mitigated depending on if it was shemen sulel, so then you couldn't take off clear, then you couldn't take off for the shmarim. And if it was already in a kli that was already very old, it was fully absorbed in, so then you can't reduce for that. Okay, and Rabbi Yehuda said, "Afa meicher shemen." Then Rabbi Yehuda came to argue on the chamim and say that even when it comes to mechira, the lekeach has to accept 1.5 less for shmarim. Okay, we had two ways of explaining it. According to Abaya, that means Rabbi Yehuda holds really you could have put shmarim in, and since you didn't, when you could have, and the Baal Bais wants solo, he's not in the business of selling shmarim on their own, so he wants solo, and therefore he's going to accept only 98.5 at a rate of the 100 rate log. Okay, so he's going to accept a 1.5 deduction. According to And we don't say mechila because that's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitas. It doesn't hold a mechila. According to Rabbanon, they hold you can't add in the shmarim. Okay, and therefore you can't be menakeh for the fact that you didn't put shmarim in. You weren't allowed to anyways. Rav Papa says, no, ipcha mestabra. Really, according to the Chachamim, it's mutter la'arev and there's mechila. That's Rabbanon l'shitase. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the reason is not because of shmarim or not shmarim. It has to do with the fact that it's simply the economics of it, that otherwise he's not going to earn a profit. So we have to give him a little bit of space to earn a profit. Okay, and then we said, halakech v'hamafkid shav and lipkatim. We talked about the pakatim. Those are the other impurities. And really, the way we worked it out was, in regards to the mafkid, it's whatever state he accepted it in, and that's the state he has to give it back in. When it comes to moicher and lekeach, it depends on the season, is what we said, right? When you're talking about in Tishrei, so that it would be understood that this pekatim, then the lekeach has to accept the pekatim. Now, even if he doesn't take delivery until Nisan, which is the season when the pekatim, there would be no pekatim in there anymore, still he has to accept it because he paid the Tishrei price. But if a person in Nisan pays the Nisan price, he's paying the higher price, it's expected that there will be no pekatim impurities that the moicher has already dealt and taken care of those at that point.